Take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter number 37. We started many, many weeks ago, and we've been talking about relationships. Tonight, another subject, your relationship with your elders. Your relationship with your elders. Psalm chapter 37. Now, once you find Psalm 37, look at verse number 23. And I'm not trying to inconvenience you with this, but out of respect of the Bible, why don't we stand? Psalm chapter 37, starting with verse number 23. And I'm going to read out loud. The Bible says this, Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. Verse 25, look at it again. I'll read it again. David said, I have been young, and now am old. Look back at me. David is now an old man, and he said, I remember I was young once, but now I am old. Barring the second coming of Jesus, everybody here will say that. I once was young, but I'm not anymore. I want to talk to us tonight about our respect for our elders. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help me as I teach tonight. Lord, tonight I believe we could add years to someone's life because there is indeed, according to your Bible, there is a reward for young people when they respect their elders. And that reward is longevity of life. So tonight, someone may be making a decision to live long or live short. It's a big decision. Bless us tonight as we look at the practical part of the Bible regarding our respect for our elders. Holy Spirit of God, control the words that are spoken and the words that are heard. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. You heard what David said. David said, I was once young, and now I'm old. And young people, let me explain something to you about that. I really, really mean this. I can remember, I look at our teenagers, and I remember, it just seems like yesterday I was your age. It just seems like yesterday. I can remember the thrill, the possibility of getting my learner's permit. I couldn't wait to get my driver's license. I did not, back then, think there was any chance ever that I would have gray hair. As you can see, it does happen. It's just like Brother Daniel never in a million years thought that he would be partially gray and partially polished on top. He didn't think that some years ago, but it happens. Now, it's important that we realize there's a concept in the Bible, young people, and that concept is found in the book of Galatians. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let me explain to you. The Bible teaches what you do, it's going to come back to you someday. In other words, what we sow, we're going to reap. Young people, I'm going to recommend to you tonight that you show respect for your elders. And you might not see the importance of it, but it's important now because God says it is, but you will reap what you've sown. Let me ask you this. Would you, young people, would you want someone someday to treat you like you treat your elders now? I just want you to understand you'll reap what you sow. I believe a country that treats their senior citizens and treats their elders right is a country that God will bless. I'm very, very convinced of that. That's because the Bible promises longevity of life for those who respect those who have had longevity of life. It's a part of it. I think the American people, in some aspects or some ways, I think they're making a terrible mistake. I think there are corporations that are making bad mistakes. You say why? They're trying to force some of the gray-haired people out of their business. Well, let me tell you something. It might be wise to keep some of them gray-haired people around to show you how it's done. It may be wise to keep some of those that have been around for a long time and they've watched the business grow and they've seen how it works. You force all the people with the experience and all the people with years and years and years of learning out of a business, you may collapse the business. You may totally change the business, and I'm not talking about for the better. I think a country that shows respect for their elders is a country that God can give some longevity to that country. I just want to talk to us for a little while. The sermon tonight is going to be extremely down to earth and practical. The Bible does have a lot to say, a good portion of scriptures and things about our treatment of our elders. Now, don't get the wrong idea. I don't think when the Bible talks about our elders, I don't think we ought to limit this just to someone that is 65 or 70 or 80 or 90 years of age. Young people, your mom and dad, they would be elders in your life. They're older than you. They're more experienced than you. So I don't think God is placing an age on this. It's God saying that you ought to respect your leaders, especially those that are older than you. And so don't get the idea we're just talking about, you know, people that are 95 years of age, you know, got one foot in the grave. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about our elders, which would include many, many people at all ages that are older than you, that are older than you. Now, I'm gonna read some things to you. I'm gonna teach you some things, and I think we'll be better because of it. First of all, I think the Bible teaches that youth ought to stand in the presence of their elders. Youth ought to stand in the presence of their elders. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, it says this: "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head." The word hoary head is talking about the gray hair. So God actually put a scripture in the Bible that says when youth are in the presence of their elders, the youth ought to stand in their presence. You might say, "Oh, Pastor, I thought that was custom from an outdated etiquette book." Now, let me explain. The Bible is an etiquette book. It'll teach you propriety. But I happen to believe this. I think young people, if there were a bunch of young people sitting in a room together and an adult walked in, I still think it's appropriate for you to stand. Say why? You just stand in their presence. I don't know how many of you go back and what your public school experience was like, but when I was in the public school, I can remember the beginning years of my public school when the teacher walked in, we all stood. I think that's still appropriate. They do it with the leaders of our country, and it's still appropriate. Matter of fact, I think it's disrespectful when the President of the United States walks into Congress and, you know, a bunch of them stand, but others just stay in their seat in rebellion. No wonder we've got a country that's a mess. They don't understand the respect for leadership. They don't understand the respect for that position. At the church that I pastored prior to this one, in my Christian school, there are people that were there. They would tell you when an adult entered the room in the Christian school, all the students were told to stop what they're doing and stand. And they were to abide by that. In other words, if a mom went over and it had a third grade girl in the third grade class and mom was going to go in for a second, when mom would step inside that classroom, all the students were taught, stand. You stand in the presence of that adult. Let me tell you something else I think this is teaching young people. If, if ever here in church, we've just got this sellout crowd, and there you can't find seats. Young people, you ought to be ready in a flash to give your seat up for an adult that might need a seat. I think if you're sitting at the table and there's only 8 chairs at the table and there are 9 people and you're sitting down and an adult walks in the room, young people, what you do is you stand up, you offer them your seat, and you go off to the side. You say, well, where am I going to sit? I don't care where you're going to sit. We don't care about you. No, it's a propriety. And there are enough adults in this room that remember this type of respect. And it used to be taught much, much more. It's just very, very appropriate. I'll tell you what I do. When any adult enters a room, I almost always stand anyway. I stand out of respect to greet them, but especially is it true when we're talking about someone that's older than us, one of our elders. So, according to Leviticus 19:32, youth should stand in the presence of their elders. Next, in the same verse, Leviticus 19:32, it tells us that we are to honor older people. Let me read it to you. It says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord." Now, let me tell you something. Here God is talking about honoring your elders, and it being connected somehow to proving that you have the fear of the Lord in your life. When you disrespect your elders, you're disrespecting the Lord's wishes in regard to your relationship with Him. God said, if you respect me, if you honor me, then you will respect your elders. So that means this, young people, when you're disrespectful to your elders, you're being disrespectful to a concept of God, which is virtually then translated into you're being disrespectful to God. Disrespect to your elders is disrespect to your God. Now, the word here, it says, and honor the face of the old man. Let me tell you something, girls, look right up here. I'm about to teach you something. What that said there, it says honor the face. Do you know that when an adult is talking to you, young people, you ought to look at them? You know, those girls know that I care about them. I think all the young people here know that I care about them. Let me explain. Young people, when preacher says, pay attention up here, I'm asking you to do what the Bible teaches. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I am the pastor of the church. Because of the position, there's some respect, but I'm pretty obvious to you. I'm older than you young people. You can tell by the gray hair and the ugliness of the face and all of that. But when I say to you, pay attention, when I get on you and I say, pay attention to your Sunday school teacher, pay attention to that youth director, I'm teaching you something that the Bible teaches. And it says, honor the face. I believe that when someone older and a leader is talking to you, you ought to look at them. I don't think you ought to be playing with your telephone. I don't think you ought to be looking at the ground. This is missing today. Eye contact. Eye contact. Boy, when I'm talking with a young person, you just can't get them to look at you. I'm thinking, what are you up to in life? Why can't you look at me? Just look at me when I talk to you. I'll tell you this. If you were in the military, And your CO told you to look at him, you better look at him. You better look at him. He's not expecting you to be doing this. He'll tell you what to do with your eyes, and you better do what you're told with your eyes. Look, the Bible teaches that we are to honor older people. God mentions honoring the face. I think that means looking them in the face. I think it has something to do with admiring the face. You say admiring the face. The word honor here, it has to do with something of value. We see the value of that person. I'll read to you from Deuteronomy 5:16. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, Let me read another passage. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, young people, God tells you that you ought to honor your parents. And I said this in my opening prayer. There is a benefit to honoring your elders. If you will honor your mom and dad, God can extend your life. And I don't say this to scare you. I believe you'll obey what you're taught from the Bible. But I got to tell you something, young people. When you disobey and when you dishonor your mom and dad, you are shortening your life. Now, if you want to go down to the Gold's Gym and work out to extend your life, that may help some. And you say, "I'm going to eat nothing but organic lettuce and grass and tree bark." That could extend your life. You say, "I'm going to drink nothing but purified water from the lakes of Minnesota." Okay, that may extend your life, but I'm going to tell you something. You'd be better off eating McDonald's French fries and Big Macs and obeying mom and dad, because that will extend your life. If you don't believe me, when mom and dad say, "Don't play on the train tracks," and you do anyway, you're going to learn that can shorten your life by disobeying. And though an extreme illustration, when you don't obey, when you don't honor mom and dad, you are taking days off your life. The Bible talks about honoring your parents, honoring your elders. When you honor something, it's treated with value. And there is a bonus, there is a benefit for being around older people and treating them right. You know, when you get around older people, young folks, there's a right and a wrong way to handle yourself. And you ought to be very respectful around them. So I said, number one, according to Leviticus 19:32, youth should stand in respect when elders approach the table or step into a room. I said, number two, the Bible teaches we are to honor, treat them as precious with respect. Number three, the Bible also teaches that we are to see the real beauty in that age. See the real beauty in an elder. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength." I like that verse. Ever see a young man, he wants to take the big old cannon out and let everybody see it. Hey, moms and dads, you walk in when your boy's young and he's standing in front of the mirror, you know. He's just admiring and everything. The Bible says, "The glory of a young man is their strength." It says, "And the beauty of an old man is his gray hair." There's a difference here. The Bible, when it talks about the beauty, it talks about the hoary head. It talked about honoring the face of the old man. And I realize, young people, you look into a face and you see the wrinkles on the face and you see that elder. You see the age spots and you see that the hair is beginning to go. And you look at the what life and the stresses of life has done on that face and you say, that's not beauty. According to the Bible, that's beauty. That's beauty. I have to say, when I look, my dad looks like Andy Griffith. Or actually, Andy Griffith looks like my dad. And but when I look at my dad and I see his furrowed brow, and I see the wrinkles, and I see the age spots, and I see that here his neck is just rough where life has been hard on him, I see something that I respect very much. The life and what that signals and what it says to me. And the Bible says we are to see the beauty in older people. We need to recognize that beauty. Young people, I'll tell you what happens. Hollywood tries to convince us that beauty is what they say it is. So you all understand, the television lies to you. What they say is good is not usually good. And what they say is beautiful is not really what God thinks is beautiful. Our culture has us convinced of something. Mrs. Owens goes out and she does hair at a nursing home and helps ladies do their hair. And to be honest, she loves doing it. What you think, you go into that nursing home and you think, look at all of those dried up old people. I've got news for you. God looks and says, there's years of beauty. Years. Years of it. Don't let our culture lie to you. That's why we're to treat them with respect. That's why we're to honor them. So we're to stand in their presence. We are to honor them. We're to recognize what real beauty actually is. And it's not what Hollywood tells us. It's what God tells us. And that's the furrowed brow. It's the wrinkle. It's the graying of the hair. Then, the Bible teaches us we're to see the royalty of older people. The royalty of our elders. Proverbs 16:31 says, the hoary head, now remember, the hoary head is in reference to the graying of the hair. The hoary head is a crown of glory. Do you understand that a crown is worn by a king or a queen? And God is saying, when you see that graying hair, you may not feel like that's attractive, but God said that is that man's crown. That is that woman's crown. What God is saying here, treat your elders as kings and queens. See the royalty that is expressed by the crown that has been placed on their head. Everybody here, may I say to you, you ought to do the best you can to treat your mom and dad like royalty. I would not say that all moms and dads do right all the time. I don't think that. But there's a right way to treat them. There's a right way to treat them. Realize you're to treat mom and dad like a king and a queen. I got to thinking about this the other day. I mentioned Mrs. Owens. I gave an illustration. Sunday morning, I gave an illustration about how I had the privilege to, we took Dr. John R. Rice's car that had been placed in a museum, and we got to take it for a whole day and drive it. Now, Dr. Rice, his wife used to speak across the country back when he and Mrs. Rice were still alive. Those of you that don't know who Dr. Rice is, he was the founder and the editor of the Sword of the Lord newspaper and ministry and the Sword of the Lord conferences, one of the most powerful pens and evangelists of the last generation. Mrs. Rice was coming to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana to speak at a ladies' conference. Those ladies' conferences would sometimes have 4,000 and 5,000 women present. And Mrs. Rice was going to come and she was going to speak at our ladies' conference. Well, Mrs. Owens, when she was young, promised her daddy that she would get a degree in cosmetology, and that's because her dad was a barber, and she got that degree in cosmetology. And she taught at our Bible college. She taught wardrobe and grooming. Matter of fact, she took over a class that Mrs. Hiles used to teach. She took it over. So Mrs. Rice is coming to speak at our great big ladies' conference. And this may not mean anything to you men, but Mrs. Rice, I think she was up in her 80s when this happened. She showed up at our conference, and she always had a nurse that traveled with her, but her nurse was her beautician as well. Well, Mrs. Rice showed up at this major conference, and she was in tears because her nurse slash beautician could not travel with her. So Mrs. Marlene Evans, the lady that hosted the conference, she called my wife and she said, listen, I need someone to care for Mrs. Rice for the next 3 days. Every meal with her, you help her with her wardrobe, you're going to do her hair, you're just going to watch out for her. And Mrs. Owens was just tickled to death. She spent those 3 days with Mrs. John R. Rice and was attending to her, got to do her hair. They ate their meals together and just helped her with her clothes. Of course, you get into your mid to upper 80s and you may need a little attention here and happened there, but she was speaking to a conference of over 5,000 people. And I remember my wife, and she would come home every day just thrilled that she got to take care of Mrs. Rice. And I'll promise you this, she seen her like a queen and took care of her in that very way. You say, why? Scripturally, that's what the Bible talked about. So it talked about taking care of them. My wife said that there was someone driving, and Mrs. Owens and Mrs. Rice would get in the back seat, and they would ride together to the meals and to the conference from the room where she was being staying and being hosted. She said Mrs. Rice looked out the window of the car while they were traveling, and there was a big billboard advertising it was either cigarettes or liquor, and said Mrs. Rice got a frantic look on her face, said she reached over and grabbed my wife's leg and said, honey, you tell your kids to hate sin. Tell them to hate sin. If they don't hate it, they'll try it. If they don't hate it, they'll try it. Mrs. Owens came home, and she was so excited. She said, honey, we're gonna teach our kids to hate sin, to hate it. And I said, well, we've been trying. But she said, oh, Mrs. Rice said, teach them to hate it. If you don't teach them to hate it, they'll try it. And it so moved her. And you know something? Let me tell you something. Folks, if you don't teach your kids to hate it, they'll try it. That's why you ought to be in the kind of church where they hate sin. They're not pacifists. They make a big deal. Sin's bad. It's wrong. Don't do that. It's wrong. It's bad. What an experience. An experience. But folks, you say, well, Pastor, if I got to spend 3 days with Mrs. John R. Rice, I would have treated her like royalty. The issue wasn't that she was John R. Rice. The issue was she was an elder. That's the issue. That's the issue. We are to treat our elders with respect. We're to honor them. We're to stand in their presence. But let me go on. Number five, we're to care for the needs of older people. I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I could give you lots of different scripture on it, but let me read a few verses to you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, and then I'll jump down to verse 8. It says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women, which I don't think there's any such thing as an elder woman, but as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, here the Bible is talking about meeting the needs of our elders, especially those in our own family. It talks about those that are widows. And widows indeed, you say, what's a widow indeed? That would be a widow that doesn't have family to take care of them. They've lost their husband. They don't have family to watch out for them. But notice here, it tells us that if we don't take care of our own, and two or three times it's talking about our elders, it says we're worse than an infidel. You say, what's that mean? If you have elders in your family and you don't try to meet their needs when they have needs, you're worse than a lost person. You're acting like a lost person by not attending to their needs. There is a certain respect again. There is a certain behavior that we're all to have toward a widow, and especially a widow indeed. And so, again, what are we talking about? We're talking about our relationship with our elders. We find, according to Leviticus 19:32, we are to stand in the presence of our elders. We find in Leviticus 19:32 that we are to honor our elders. In other words, treat them as something precious. We find, number three, Proverbs 20, verse 29, that we are to see the real beauty in them. We're to recognize their beauty. Number four, we're to treat them as kings and queens, as royalty, Proverbs 16:31. We find that we are to care and meet their needs if we possibly can, and if we don't, we're acting like the heathen, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, and verse number 8. Let me move on. Number 6. The Bible teaches that you should give special care and attention to your grandparents. I want to tell you about a couple I want to tell you about some grandmothers that are very well known here in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5 and 6, it says this: "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." In this verse, Paul writes to a young man by the name of Timothy, and he says to him, he said, I know about your mom, and I know about your grandma, and Timothy, you're a man of faith because of your elders. You're a man of faith because of your mom. You're a man of faith because of your grandma. And here's a grandma that had influenced, a mom who had influenced a grandson that became a powerful writer, and God chose to use him to write in the Bible. And God is reminding, through Paul, God is reminding Timothy, you remember your grandma. You treat your mom right, and you treat your grandma right. And young people, let me say, hey, and when I say young people, you all do realize to your grandparents, you're young. If you're 50 and your grandparents are alive, you're young to them. So this isn't just me trying to tell the kids that are in high school or grade school what to do. Everybody here, there are elders in your life, and they ought to be treated right. They ought to be treated with dignity and respect, and you ought to meet their needs when you can and treat them right. But you'd be shocked at what it would mean to your grandparents if you were expressive to them. I'll tell you a story. My grandmother, she passed away some years ago now. She'd lived a really, really rough life. She was saved, but I remember I was off at Bible college, and Valentine's Day had rolled around. I lived a long way away from my grandma, but God had just so spoken to my heart. It was February the 14th, and I was probably 7 hours away from her. I couldn't go visit her. I was in college. I picked up my telephone, and I called her, and I said, "Grandma, it's Jeff." She called me Jeffy. You call me Dr. Jeffy. I said, "Grandma, it's Jeff." And she said, "Oh, Jeffy, I'm glad to hear from you." I said, "Grandma, how are you today?" And we began to talk, and I said, "Grandma, do you know what today is?" She said, "No, I don't think so. Is it your birthday?" I said, "No, no." She said, "Is it my birthday?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, you know, sometimes I forget that." I said, "Grandma, it's Valentine's Day." And I said, "I didn't want you to be scared, because later on, they're going to knock on your door and they're going to bring you a big old bouquet of flowers." I said, "Grandma, I called to ask you this. Will you be my Valentine?" She got so quiet, and she said, "Your grandpa, we didn't celebrate this much." I said, "But Grandma, I'm calling to ask if you will be my Valentine." She said, "Jeffy, I would be honored to be your Valentine." We talked for a while, hung up the phone. I double-checked later to make sure she got her flowers. This is what moves me. It was probably 9 months later. I was home, and I was over the summer. I went to visit my grandma. I went into the kitchen. Right in the middle of the kitchen table was a vase with these dried-up flowers. I mean, there's hardly anything left. At first, it didn't occur to me what they were. I asked her, I said, "Grandma, those flowers look like they pretty well served their purpose." And she said, "Jeffy, I got those from my Valentine." I'll tell you, it about tore my heart out. I believe my grandmother had looked at those old dried-up stems for over 9 months, remembering the fact that her grandson asked her to be a Valentine. Young people, treat your grandma and grandpa right. Treat them right. You won't have them forever. They go to heaven. They pass on. Treat them right. I'm not done, but I'm getting close, so bear with me for a moment. I said this, the Bible teaches we should stand in our elders' presence. The Bible teaches we should honor our elders. The Bible teaches that we should understand what real beauty is and see it in those that are older than us. The Bible teaches that our elders and our parents and grandparents ought to be treated as kings and queens with royalty. Proverbs 16:31. We're to care for the needs of the older people, and if we don't, we're worse than an infidel, or we're worse than a lost person. We're supposed to give special care to our grandparents. And the last thing I'll say tonight, and I would love to take about 45 minutes and talk about it, but I will not. We're to follow the counsel and guidance from older people. In 1 Kings 12, verse number 13, the Bible says this. It says, "And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him." Let me tell you the story. Rehoboam was a young king who sought counsel from both the young and the old. But he made the mistake. Instead of following the counsel from the older men, he followed the counsel from his peers and the young men. As a result of it, his kingdom was split. And he turned it into a royal mess. Why? He listened to the counsel of the young instead of the counsel from the old. Young people tend to want to be heard, but don't really have a lot to say. And then older people, they don't interject themselves a lot, but they have plenty to say. Young people, listen. Your friends and the people your age, they may want to tell you what to do. The Bible says that wisdom can be like water in a deep well. Sometimes you got to go draw it out. If I were you and I was a young person, I would go get advice from somebody that's older than you. Hey, somebody that has some wrinkles on their face or maybe some gray hair, somebody that doesn't walk as fast as everybody else. You say, well, why would I want counsel from them? They've been there. They've done that. They've watched. They've learned. They've experienced. They might even learn the hard way, but they have learned. The Bible teaches us that counsel from older, wiser people will help you. It's been my privilege. I've had the chance to be around a lot of older people. When I was in Bible college, people would sit all over this massive auditorium. I think the oldest man on our campus, his name was Dr. Maurice Paulson. Dr. Maurice Paulson was the missions director of our entire Bible college. He had been on the mission field for years and years and years. I think he may have known Noah personally. He walked so slow, I couldn't believe it. And you know what? All my friends were sitting in college and sitting in chapel. I sat every day by Dr. Maurice Paulson. I just sat there. You say, why? I just wanted to be around him. Every day, they'd dismiss for lunch, and I'd watch just in college, just about like grade school, when you're ready to eat, you're ready to eat. And I'd watch them dismiss, and people race to get to the dining hall. You know what I did every day? I walked very slowly right beside the old missionary from chapel to his office almost every day. I'd save him a seat in chapel every day. I loved being around the old missionary. He was virtually three times my age, and he loved me. We became very, very close. Someday I'd like to sit down and tell you what I learned from that fella. When he was building churches for the Aborigines people, I remember just the stories I could tell you. Matter of fact, how many of you have ever heard of the missionary named Rick Martin? The Philippines. Would you raise your hand? How many of you have ever heard of the missionary Kevin Wynn in Mexico City, Mexico? Probably the two most powerful missionaries in the world today are those two men. They were both trained by an old, ball-headed, slow-walking, slow-talking missions director named Maurice Paulson. Now, you've never heard of him. But Kevin Wynn has over a million people saved every year of his life in Mexico City. Rick Martin has turned the Philippines upside down. I don't know. I think he started over 1,000 churches in the Philippines alone. They didn't get that from some young guy. They got that from an older man. Let me tell you, follow the counsel of the older, wiser people in your life. That's going to help your relationships in life. I just guarantee it. Let me repeat myself. That's what old people do. Let me repeat myself and we'll be done. The whole lesson is about our respect and our relationship with our elders. Youth should stand in the presence of elders. Give them your seat. Make sure they're comfortable first. Number two, we should honor them. Treat them of something of great value. Number three, we're to see the real beauty in our elders. Number four, they're to be treated as kings and queens. There's to be a royal treatment for them. Number five, we're to meet their needs, especially those that are our relatives. And if we don't, we're worse than an infidel. Number six, we should give special attention to our grandparents. And number seven, it's wise to follow the counsel and to get around the older, wiser people. I have a lot of people. This week I was out preaching and teaching, and I went and taught at a Bible college up north. I've had the privilege of seeing some successes in my ministry, but it's not because of me. I can tell you where my successes came from. When I was a young preacher, I spent all my time around the old preachers. When I was 20, I wasn't running around with 20-year-old preachers. When I was 20, I was running around with 40- and 50-year-old preachers. When I was 30, I wasn't spending my time with 30-year-old preachers. I was around the 50- and 60-year-old preachers. I love to get around Dr. Bobby Robertson. If you don't know who Dr. Bobby Robertson is, he's an unsung hero in the United States of America. You talk about a powerful guy. I want to spend my time with people who have experience and wisdom. And most of the time, it's not people your age. It's people a little older. Now, there are young people that have wisdom. There are young people that have knowledge. But for most of us, let's turn to the wise people in life for our counsel, our help, and let's have good relationships with our elders. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. This is not just for children. This is not just for teenagers. All age people in here, we all need to have a proper understanding of how to treat our elders. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've been challenged. I've been reminded. I could do a little better at this. I want to do what I'm supposed to do in regard to my elders, and God has definitely spoken to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. You can put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. Maybe you need a moment at the altar. There might be somebody in here. When's the last time you called your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa? How did you talk to your dad today, your mom today? You might need a moment at the altar. It'd be a wise thing to do if you need it. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Respect your mom and dad. Respect your grandparents. Respect your great-grandparents. Do right by them. It's not hard to make a phone call. It's not hard to drop a note in the mail. Look at people as they grow old and they lose their hair, their hair grays, and their shoulders bow, they get the wrinkles on their face and those age spots, and you think that's unattractive. That's what the world says. That's not what God says. That's not what God says. Don't break your mom's heart. Don't break your daddy's heart. Do right by your elders. Ushers, if you will, why don't you make sure that we have both the financial reports as well as the prayer bulletins ready. And if there are those that need them, we'll get them in their hands. One more time through the song, if you will, Mrs. Young.